children of all ages, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com proudly brings to you, Oh, You Didn't Know? You see, it's me, it's the G-U-double-T. And soon, later on, I'll be joined by the J-C-D. I will also be joined later on by a few other people. Hopefully the Prophet Rick Craig will return here tonight. I spoke with him the other day. And of course, we have a special guest joining us today, and he will be calling in momentarily, hopefully, and that is Ring of Honor superstar Adam Cole. But just to give you all an update as to what's going on here with Oh You Didn't Know Radio, a reminder that we are brought to you by ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Oh, we have a number of callers now. Let's see here. Are you there?
Yeah, what's up, dude?
I'm an ass man. Yeah, I'm an ass man.
All right, JCD, how you doing?
Good. What a day.
I know. I'm actually having a little bit of technical difficulties, but so I see that I have a number of people on the line, so let's see who we have with us.
It's like Russian roulette.
Yeah, I know. Area code 317, you're on.
You got the Prophet in the house, brother.
The Prophet has returned. Welcome.
And the only
back
thing
to
I can
friend.
Say is the Gutfather is also in the house.
Absolutely.
Because we all know that hosting ain't easy.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming back. Hope everything is well on your end. And we're going to find out who else is on the line. Area code 732.
It's Jersey.
It's TLD, everybody.
TLD. Don't I have some music for you?
Yes, you do. Just look under, it says TLD on it. You'll
you know what?
Out.
There's technical difficulties. I'm not going to bother. But I am going to take the last caller.
Hang on. I'll do it. It's
right.
TLD.
Whoa. If you're going to imitate the theme song, do it right, sir, okay? You forgot one little note.
Area code 717, you are on.
This is Adam Cole.
Adam Cole, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much.
We are so glad to have you. You got a full house here. There are a total of five of us here, including you.
That's great. Awesome.
And we are very excited to have you on. I'm sorry to hear about or read about your loss recently.
Yeah. Me just as much, of course.
We're going to get right to it. But just so everyone knows, we are brought to you by ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Check them out for lots of great articles. And they had a great interview last night with Maria, so check that out on PWP Radio. You can find us on Facebook, Facebook.com/OUDIDN'TKNOWRADIO, Facebook.com/ProWrestlingPowerhouse. So, Adam Cole, welcome to the show again. So let's start off, talk about your recent loss, and what does that mean for your career? Some people might think that could be a sign of a change happening for you in your career.
Oh, you know, as far as it goes with my loss of the television championship, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, obviously question the idea of me overlooking Matt Taven and that whole idea of me going, you know, feeling very strongly about my matchup on a pay-per-view with Matt Taven at the 11th anniversary event in Chicago, obviously being focused on other things with Matt Hardy. You know, I'd like to think that I didn't overlook Matt Taven, but obviously there must have been a part of me that did, because he walked away with the television championship with Matt Hardy right there at commentary. That's no disregard whatsoever to Matt Taven, because he's a super talented guy, super talented athlete who's very well on his way to becoming the future of Ring of Honor, you know, maybe even the future of pro wrestling. So all I'm focused on right now is, you know, getting my television championship back. You know, just today it was announced on May 4th. in Toronto at Border Wars 2013. I'll be challenging for the Ring of Honor World Championship against Kevin Steen. So I'm really looking forward to that one. A lot of big things shaping up here in 2013 for sure for me.
Very good. So maybe instead of the television championship, you might have a world championship in your future.
There you go. There you go.
JCD, I'm going to throw it to you for the next question.
Hey, Adam. How's it going, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, good. No complaints. I was quite surprised Saturday night when I read the results of the show that you had dropped the title to Taven. And then you working Hardy on Sunday. I don't want to get too much into the St. Clair, the spoiler stuff, but do you think there'll be more with you and Taven, or is it going to be more, you think more, you maybe jump into Hardy and then using that as a catapult to Steen on May 4th?
Sure. You know, at this point, it's tough to say, because, I do know this. I know the matchup that me and Matt Hardy had was for the number one contendership of the Ring of Honor World Television Championship. I won that match, but regardless of that fact, I won that match by disqualification, with Scum getting involved. So a lot of people have entertained the idea of there possibly being a three-way matchup in New York. Maybe it's just going to be me and Taven. A lot of stuff's up in the air. It's funny because, as much as I was thrown into this world championship situation and as happy as I am, I still have my mindset and kind of everything mentally and emotionally invested in the television championship. So it's very hard and very weird for me to think that, I'm going to be focusing on the belt that kind of made me in Ring of Honor, here coming up in New York. But at the same time, I know I have a world championship opportunity the following month in Toronto. So there's a lot of unknown stuff going on right now in ROH, which I think pretty much kind of identifies the company as a whole, with Scum overtaking the company at the 11th anniversary event. So a lot of unknown stuff going on right now. But, irregardless, very exciting stuff. So everyone should definitely stay tuned for what's going on.
Very cool.
All right, let's go to Rick Craig. Rick Craig, what's your question?
Hey, Adam, brother man, how are you today?
Very good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. You're a young guy. What, 23?
Yeah, 23 years old, man.
You have been around the whole world, wrestling all over the place. I mean, a lot of people don't realize just how much experience you've got in just such a short amount of years that you've been doing this. I mean, you're still Pro Wrestling Guerrilla champion, right?
Yes, still PWG.
Yes, so Pro Wrestling Guerrilla heavyweight champion, and you've wrestled some of the best men in the business. I mean, who can say at the age of 23 they've knocked off Austin Aries, a former TNA
right.
World Champion and current Tag Team Champion? So I guess
right,
my question
right.
to you is, with all this experience under your belt at the age of the ripe old age of 23, what's in front of you? I mean, what do you got to look forward to? What promotions do you have your eyes on? Rumor has it you had a WWE tryout match a few weeks ago. What's going
sure.
on with you?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And this is the honest to God truth about this whole situation. It's so funny. Like when I started wrestling at 18, I was a senior in high school. And I always told myself specifically, I said, I don't want to set, definite goals for myself as far as what titles I want to win, what promotions I want to work for, what guys that I want to work with. I always said I wanted to focus internally on myself as far as, how I can improve, what I can do to be better, and what I can do to get to where I want to get. So like I said, I've never set anything too specific for me and too specific for myself. I've kind of let the cards kind of lay as they're dealt, if that makes sense. So for me, like I said, as long as I keep working hard and keep focusing, I'd like to keep moving up the ladder. Obviously things like being Ring of Honor World Champion is really important to me. Going forward and working for as many different companies as I can, I love working overseas. And I think any guy that says they don't want to have a WrestleMania moment someday is lying. Certainly someday I'd like to work for the WWE. But we'll see. There's a lot of stuff up in the air right now, and I'm just going to keep working hard and kind of see where that takes me.
How did you feel about your match, that tryout match?
I think things went well. I got to learn from some of the best that there is in this industry. You know, there are a lot of great hands down there, a lot of very, very smart guys that I could learn from. So it was a very good learning experience. So, you know, at this point, you know, time will tell. But as far as people being concerned about me leaving or being concerned about me going away, you know, you have no worries. I'm going to be here for a while. So no concerns.
Outstanding.
Adam, you mentioned, and Rick Craig has also mentioned, you know, you work for a lot of different organizations, a lot of promotions. What do you see as the difference between the different promotions? I was at Final Battle at the Manhattan Center back in December, and I've been at some independent promotions in New Jersey. What's different about each of these promotions that you enjoy working with all of them?
Sure. I think the biggest thing is I think the ability for certain promotions that I work for, I think as far as the scale of their importance, I think has a lot to do with their idealistic idea of, you know, kind of achieving or working towards the largest common denominator. And you know, what I mean by that is there are a lot of great wrestling promotions out there that kind of appeal to much different forms of the audience. And I feel like each company that goes out there and kind of tries to appeal to the general wrestling fan or the one that's able to capture the attention and the imagination of, you know, any wrestling fan that is kind of going out there just to enjoy wrestling for what it is, has very, very much so been deemed successful. So what I mean by that is when you have a company like Ring of Honor where you can find literally the best of everything going on in pro wrestling, you'll get a larger audience. And there are so many different factors that goes into that. I mean, all of us could talk for hours about what goes into how a successful wrestling organization kind of runs its operation. But all the promotions that I've worked for generally have been very positive, very exciting. But like I said, you know, you definitely have companies that have a better grasp, I think, on the understanding of growing and understanding how they can bring their niche to the table and continue to grow as a company and make money.
Yeah, absolutely. TLD, you have a question for Mr. Cole?
Yes, Mr. Cole, how are you doing? I actually worked in World One for a little bit before you actually were in it. So your friend, you know Ryan. You remember Ryan?
Oh, yeah, I know Ryan very well.
Yeah, yeah, actually one of those good friends. I used to be in World One before you got there. So good to finally meet you, but heard always good things about you, though. So it's good to hear you. One question I wanted to know about was, and this is one thing that is, it's difficult for a lot of people to get noticed in professional wrestling. So what would you say is a way for people to get noticed? Just like from your experience, like how do people just get in touch with you? And, you know, how is it, you know, to get out there that every wrestling promotion just finds you and, you know, get noticed the way you have?
Sure. Yeah, no, that's an awesome question because a lot of people have asked that question. And I think the biggest thing generally for, like, young indie guys trying to make a name for themselves is be as accessible as possible. And what I mean by that is that I know there's, like, such that generic answer of, like, you got to eat, sleep, and breathe pro wrestling. But it's one thing to say that, and it's another thing to do it. And what I mean by that is, you know, for example, when I was training, fortunately for me, my trainer was very beneficial as far as every single weekend that he went to a show, he would say, hey, does anyone want to come and help set up the ring and help tear down? And, you know, I would be there. You know, I'd help set up the ring, I'd help tear down, I'd do security, I'd do whatever I could, and I would meet all these promoters and all these wrestlers. So, you know, before there would come a time where these promoters would need somebody or these promoters were ready to bring somebody else in, I happened to be a guy who was there all the time, so I just happened to fit into that mold. And I think the biggest thing is, like I said, making yourself as accessible as possible and saying, yeah, I'm going to skip work. Yeah, I'm going to skip this birthday party. Yeah, I'm going to skip hanging out with my girlfriend just to make sure that I can get as much experience as I possibly can and get my name out there. Eventually that pays off. And if you train and work hard, and more importantly, if you're liked by the people that you surround yourself with, they will give you an opportunity, not only because you've shown that you're so passionate, but because they want you to succeed because they like you as a human being. You know, generally, positive people that surround themselves with other positive people
want those people to succeed. So if you're very positive in your outlook about succeeding as a pro wrestler, that will come through and that will show. So I think that's the biggest thing. Like I said, just making yourself as accessible as humanly possible and just going out there and kind of showing the world that what you want to do is become a pro wrestler. And, you know, eventually that will pay off.
Very interesting stuff. Adam, how'd you get involved? How did you get started? What made you want to be a wrestler?
Yeah, actually, one specific match made me want to be a wrestler. It was I became a fan of wrestling right around WrestleMania 15. I kind of hopped in late. I was about 9 years old when I saw Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock wrestle for the first time. And I remember being so captivated by that. And then I remember 2 years later, The Rock and Steve Austin wrestled again, and it was WrestleMania 17 in the Houston Astrodome. And the first time I ever got goosebumps in my entire life was when Stone Cold came out that night in the Houston Astrodome, and I remember 67,000 people rose to their feet at the same time. And I got goosebumps, you know, all across my body. I get goosebumps now when I talk about it. It was just such a moving, emotional experience for me. And I remember sitting there and going, oh, man, you know, being a fan's not going to be good enough. I need to get involved in this. And eventually I ended up training at the CZW Wrestling Academy. And, you know, DJ Hyde and John Dahmer were my head trainers. And they were very, very good to me. And, yeah, you know, I just kind of took the bull by the horns and said, hey, this is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to try to be the best I possibly can be at this. And, yeah, so, you know, now I'm in the process of climbing the ladder.
Absolutely, that's great. JCD, I'll go back to you.
Hey, sorry about that. Hey, you had mentioned CZW. I was going to ask you where you got your start from. How did you hook up with Ring of Honor, Adam?
Yeah, what had happened to me is I was training pretty consistently at CZW. You know, working there and working local independent shows around kind of that area, like Allentown and Maryland and things like that. And there was a guy over here from Australia. His name was Ryan Eagles. And he was training at the Ring of Honor School. And he invited me and said he had talked to Delirious, who was the head trainer at the time. He said, hey, you know, I asked him. He said it was okay. He said, do you want to come to the Ring of Honor School? I said, yeah, absolutely. I'd love to come. So I went to the Ring of Honor School and I started training there, and Delirious saw some potential in me. So he invited me to come and train full-time at the Ring of Honor School on top of training at the CZW School while I was working full-time. And, you know, up to that point, I had built enough confidence after I had trained with Delirious for a while to ask him if it was okay if I'd come to shows and help set up and things like that. And, you know, he encouraged it very much. So I remember I went to about 5 shows and just helped set up the ring and help tear down. I was pretty much ring crew until eventually I got a shot, you know, with a dark match with the Ring of Honor, and I was doing dark match after dark match, and Adam Pearce was the booker at the time. And I hadn't attracted his attention enough, you know, based on my matches. I'd come to the back, and, you know, he would say, oh, yeah, very good job, and that was about it. So I remember saying, okay, what do I have to do to get his attention? So I had his email, and I sent him an email of a couple of promos that I had cut. And he was really impressed by the promos that I did. So he had me actually come in on a Ring of Honor television taping, and I just came in and cut an in-ring promo. It was like a dark match in-ring promo that I did. And, you know, luckily for me, and fortunately enough for me, Jim Cornette was paying attention, and Kerry Silkman was paying attention, and they really liked what they saw. And when I came to the back, I got offered a Ring of Honor contract just based off of an in-ring promo. So it's pretty crazy to think that I ended up where I am in Ring of Honor, not because of my work, but because of my talking ability.
Nice.
All right. Rick Craig, any other questions for Adam Cole?
Well, yes, like I said earlier, it's really impressive. A man your age has been, you know, Combat Zone, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, Chikara, Dragon Gate. I mean, you've been in a lot of prominent promotions, but a lot of people, I think, seem to overlook the fact that you've been a pretty successful tag team wrestler as well. Obviously, Future Shock with Kyle O'Reilly. I guess, which do you prefer? Do you enjoy tag team wrestling more, or do you enjoy wrestling as a singles wrestler? And I guess, what do you think is the biggest challenge being a tag team wrestler?
Sure. Yeah. There was a phase where before I had started teaming with Kyle O'Reilly and Future Shock, Before that, I 100% preferred being a singles wrestler because I had never really done too much tag team wrestling, and I didn't really feel comfortable in it, and I always envisioned myself as a singles wrestler. And oddly enough, Kyle O'Reilly felt the exact same way. You know, Kyle looked at himself as a singles guy. He didn't really envision himself as a tag wrestler. And then completely by mistake, me and Kyle got thrown together as a team, and because me and him had been opponents in Dragon Gate USA and Chikara. I guess Ring of Honor figured because we had chemistry as opponents in these other promotions that we'd have chemistry as a team. And me and him were both pretty unsure of it. And then we started teaming together. And, man, we had chemistry together as a team for sure. So my appreciation for tag team wrestling definitely grew. I love tag team wrestling, especially with Kyle, just as much as I love being a singles guy. You know, I had so much fun teaming with Kyle in Future Shock. I remember actually when they eventually split us up, I remember being almost disappointed, thinking like, oh, crap, you know, I really would have loved to have done this a little bit longer because me and Kyle just felt like we were just coming into our groove as a tag team. But, you know, anytime I get the chance to team with Kyle and wrestle with Kyle, it's always so much fun. I really enjoy it just as much as singles wrestling.
It did seem like they pulled the plug on you guys right when you were hitting your stride. So
yeah.
It was disappointing to see Future Shock obviously break up, but seeing you break out as a singles star now is fun.
You know, it's interesting that, Rick, you ask about the tag team versus singles. I was going to ask, actually, this question. Adam, you spent in various promotions time as, you know, a babyface, a fan favorite, and a heel, you know, someone that the fans should hate. I mean, what do you look at as the difference between the two? Do you prefer to be one or the other?
Yeah, actually, kind of the same issue that I had with tag team wrestling was the same thing I had with being a babyface or a heel. You know, initially, too, I remember a lot of people would question the idea of, oh, don't you think it hurts your development being a babyface in one promotion and a heel in another? And to me, I felt like it was nothing more than a positive, you know, mainly for the reason of fans got the complete perspective and idea of my kind of well-roundedness of being able to be a good guy or a bad guy or whatever it is you want to call it. Because the fans now, especially in the market that we work in independent wrestling and the promotions that I work for, are so smart to what we do that I felt like it was a complete positive. But I remember before I had started becoming a babyface in Ring of Honor, I had no idea how to be a babyface. Like, the heel thing always came very natural to me. So I always 100% preferred being a heel. Until I started working for Ring of Honor, I got to work with a lot of great heels and a lot of guys that understood the process of being a heel and storytelling and things like that. So now I just love, you know, both the jobs that I get to do. I love being a babyface in Ring of Honor. I love being a heel in PWG or CZW or wherever I work. I enjoy both actually just as much. So it's been a great ride for me. And to be honest, it keeps things from getting stale for me because I never get bored. Because you know, one weekend I may be a good guy, you know, the next weekend I may be a bad guy. So it keeps me entertained and it keeps me on my toes.
What a better way to keep honing your skills, you know, not
right,
getting set in a certain cast for too terribly long.
Why do you think it's more difficult to be a babyface, or do you think that just for you it was more difficult, but for others it may not be?
Sure. Well, you know, I think generally, and I'm sure you guys have heard this statement before, but if you walk into a room, let's say, of 50 people, it's much easier to get those 50 people to hate your guts than it is to get those 50 people to like you. Like I said, to walk into a room or to walk into an audience and perform in front of these guys as a babyface is much more difficult for multiple reasons. Like I said, it's much easier to walk out there and get a bunch of people to hate you as opposed to liking you. But on top of that, you know, my look and my size and things like that and the level of competition that I was working with. You know, when you walk into a company like Ring of Honor and you have all these really talented athletes, you think, especially with me being a new guy, there are a lot of people questioning, you know, my skills and my level of wrestling ability and things like that. So, but like I said, for me working with all these heels and all these guys that understood what it was to be a heel, it was easier for me to get over as a babyface because these guys understood that. So, you know, the entire process is difficult, being a new guy and being a babyface in a company that is very, very hungry for the absolute best wrestling in the world, when, you know, I don't do a lot of flips or things like that. So there's a lot of different factors that go into it. But as long as you're working with the right people, the process will be much easier because of that.
Very interesting. Very interesting. TLD, you have any other questions?
Oh, absolutely. One of my favorite things I like to do here at ProWrestlingPalace.com is have some road stories. So I'm curious on some of the road stories you have on your travels that maybe you'd like to share with us tonight, with us and our wonderful fans.
Sure, sure. Yeah, there's one specific road story that sticks out in my mind. It was my third tour of Europe that I was doing. It was myself, Sammy Callahan, and former CZW World Champion Devin Moore. We were going over to Europe, and for those that don't know, a lot of us, when we wrestle overseas, especially when it comes to England and Germany and things like that, a lot of these guys don't pay for work visas. So many of the times we have to lie about why we're there because we're making money. So we'll come up with stories and different things to allow us to get into the country. And normally when I traveled by myself, it was very easy because I would wear like a college sweatshirt and I'm young. So it seems believable that I would be over there for schooling reasons. But myself traveling with anyone who's seen Sammy Callahan or Devin Moore, you'll understand the story. You know, all three of us traveled together and we had come up with this great story of what we thought. We were over there visiting friends, and then we were going to Germany for Oktoberfest because it was Devin Moore's birthday, and it legitimately was his birthday, so we just felt like it was perfect. And but the attendants at the airport didn't really buy the story, so they had us go sit on a bench for about 45 minutes. And after about 45 minutes had passed, and the attendant had come back, and his immediate response to all three of us, looking us right in the face, didn't say anything else. He said, "What's your connection with the Filipino government?" And we said, "What?" And he goes, "Yeah, you guys know anyone from the Philippines?" And all of us were looking at each other like, "No, no, we don't know anyone from the Philippines." And Sammy Callahan decides to say, "Well, I might know someone from the Philippines." And me and Devin Moore are punching Sammy in the side of the arm going, "What are you talking about?" Like he was making it so much worse for us. And, you know, and then from that question, immediately the attendant jumps to, "What are your hobbies?" It was the most random questioning we've ever gotten before. And, you know, we'd explained him our hobbies. He goes, "Oh, okay." He goes, "Gotcha." He goes, "You guys aren't wrestling on the Fight Club Pro Show tonight in Wolverhampton." And he had pictures of us on posters for this wrestling event that we were wrestling for in England. So we think, "Oh, crap, we're done." And they, you know, fingerprinted us and took pictures of us. And long story short, the attendants ended up taking pictures of, the attendants ended up calling the promoters and talking to them and discussing what was going on. The promoters had come up with a great story for us. So we got to, quote-unquote, sneak into the country and get to have our wrestling match, thank God. And we didn't get deported from the country. But, yeah, that's just part of the crazy travels of pro wrestling.
That's awesome.
Adam, who would you say really influenced you? I mean, you mentioned the Stone Cold Rock match that really got you interested initially, but what wrestlers have you looked up to, influenced you, and maybe your style is most similar to theirs?
Sure, yeah. I'm a big Shawn Michaels fan. You know, mainly for the reason of that guy was a great babyface. He was a great heel. He was great at promos. He could wrestle a broom and make it look good. You know, all that stuff that everyone's said about Shawn Michaels. But more importantly than anything else, I think his attitude of constantly wanting to be better and constantly wanting to improve always impressed me so much, which is certainly a guy I like to pat myself after. And, you know, another guy that I don't necessarily pat myself after, but a guy that I really looked up to was CM Punk, actually, on the independent level. This was before, you know, he became the big star that he is now. I remember watching promos of his and just being so blown away by his promos, because everything he said and every word that came out of his mouth was so believable and so genuine that I believed anything that he said. I swear to God, CM Punk could talk about how he hated cheesecake and I would have believed it. He was just so awesome on the microphone. It was unbelievable. So I'd watch his promos and study them, not for his vocabulary or not for his content, but mainly because of his believability, and like I said, and the way that he carried himself when he would cut promos. So yeah, CM Punk and Shawn Michaels were definitely guys that I watched a lot of.
Very cool. Very cool. JCD, any other questions?
No, I'm good, man. Adam, this is awesome.
Yeah, a lot
oh,
of
thank you, man.
Interesting stuff. Rick Craig.
I guess one last question for you, Adam. Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, you are the world champion. You've knocked off El Generico. You've beaten Michael Elgin. You've beaten Kevin Steen. Who else? You've beaten a lot of people. What's going on over there? A lot of people don't follow Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. Just know you from Ring of Honor. So what's life like in that promotion for you?
Yeah. PWG to me is the most fun wrestling promotion that I work for. You know, that building that they run in Reseda, California is just, you know, one of the hottest, most exciting crowds that there is in pro wrestling. You know, they're so passionate. And I know this is a generic cliche answer too, but PWG fans are as much a part of the show as the wrestlers are. Just because they have literally a life force of their own, and they're so invested and they're so involved in everything that's going on. So that's just a blast for me and for all the guys that are involved. And, you know, I'm the world champion heel out there at PWG, and I've got to work with a lot of great talent, you know, out there in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla in California. And I'm having a blast, man. You know, it's so much fun. I think anyone who's checked out a PWG DVD is never disappointed. So I highly suggest for anyone who's interested in looking to check out an alternative as far as pro wrestling goes, PWG is where it's at, man. And, you know, it's just a really, really fun, really exciting wrestling promotion.
Very cool.
Adam, I have one last question for you, and that is, you know, you mentioned the tryout with WWE, and you're probably going to stay where you are, and so I don't know if that has to do what that has to do with exactly, but perhaps there's room for improvement somewhere. So where would you like to improve the most? Is it with promos or with technique? What area would you like to focus on improving the most?
Sure. Yeah. No. I think in general, man, I think it's just going out and experiencing what pro wrestling is all about, you know, and that means traveling more overseas, wrestling as much as I can in the United States, working with as much good guys as I can. You know, there's not something specific in my game that I feel like, oh, man, I really need to work on this or I really need to do this. I'm constantly trying to grow everywhere. You know, I'm trying to make my body in better shape. I'm trying to make my ring work better. I'm trying to make my promos better. I'm trying to work more places. But in the process, more importantly than all of that, I'm just enjoying the entire process of growing as a pro wrestler and becoming a better wrestler. I got a lot of good guys to learn from. So it's been a hell of a journey thus far, and I'm looking forward to keeping it moving forward.
Very good. Very good. TLD, any other questions?
Yeah, one thing I wanted to ask is your pro wrestling name. How did that come about?
Adam Cole?
Yep.
Yeah, sure. Cole was what I wanted to name my firstborn son. So I thought to myself, okay, you know, I want something involved in that. And for anyone who's checked out Wikipedia, you know, I'm not going to hide it. That's, you know, completely fine. Austin is my real name. And I thought Austin Cole would not be good, just because there's been so many successful Austins in wrestling. You know, Austin Idol, Austin Aries, Stone Cold Steve Austin. So I thought Adam just rolled off the tongue well with Cole. That was it. So Cole has a little more meaning, and Adam is kind of just a name that just stuck with Cole, I thought.
I would agree with you. I think that makes a lot of sense, and I think it has a good ring to it.
Yeah, there you go.
But, Adam, I really appreciate you coming on our show. I really enjoyed it. I hope you had a good time as well.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, guys. I'd be happy to come on again. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, that would be great. Actually, we did have one question from a
sure.
fan of yours on Twitter, and that was from @typicalROHfan. And
okay.
He asks, will you be bringing back the Adam Win-Win moniker?
Let me tell you, if I beat Kevin Steen May 4th in Toronto for the Ring of Honor World Championship, there will be Adam Win-Win merchandise available everywhere.
Very good. Very good. Adam, again, thank you. Good luck. Hopefully you get that world championship. And thanks again for coming on.
Great. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it.
Anytime. All right. That was Adam Cole from Ring of Honor joining us here on Oh You Didn't Know Radio. We're going to take a short commercial break. Brought to you by the Big O. And when we come back, we will have a lot to discuss, including Paul Bearer and the WWE Hall of Fame. We'll be right back.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Big O, and you're listening to Oh You Didn't Know Radio on the PWP Network. Stay tuned. We got a great episode ahead. And if you can't handle that heat, get the hell out of my ozone.
All right, there he was, the Big O.
That was a big break.
What's that? Yeah, very long break there.
Yeah, long break there.
Yeah.
Intermission's over, guys.
Intermission,
yeah.
Got your 14 seconds. Got to get back to work. All right, we are back. Oh, You Didn't Know Radio. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/OhYouDidn'tKnowRadio. Check out ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, facebook.com/ProWrestlingPowerhouse. You can find me on Twitter @SethGutt, SethGutt. JCD over there needs some more followers, so follow him @JCD1219NY.
And I've got stuff to give away if you follow me.
I was going to get to that in just a minute, but TLG, why don't you tell everyone your Twitter?
@TLDWrestling.
@TLDWrestling. Give him a follow. JCD, do you want to give something away tonight, or should I?
I'll give something away. Why not?
All right. What do you have for us?
Let's see. Let's walk into the magic box and see what I pull out.
Oh, I don't want to know what kind of ice you're talking.
We've got the 6th annual 1992 Survivor Series VHS. What this card contains, the Macho Man and Mr. Perfect against Ric Flair and Razor Ramon, and Bret Hart defending the WWF title against Intercontinental Champion Shawn Michaels.
Very interesting. Hart Michaels. And was that the one where Ultimate Warrior backed out?
Yeah, that's when Warrior and Bulldog pretty much got fired
right.
for being on, stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you would like this copy of this VHS, please tweet right now @JCD1219NY for your opportunity to win the prize. And hopefully...
And you got to be a new follower.
Does it?
Yeah.
All right, let's
so you're punishing the
right
faithful,
now.
Huh?
Listen, you guys got hundreds
got
upon hundreds.
Yeah, no
I've got like 8 Twitter followers.
All right, well, follow JCD @JCD1219NY, and hopefully you can win. We have a little under 20 minutes left in the show, so in about... 10 minutes or 8 to 10 minutes, I will check back with you, JCD, and we'll find out if anyone has tweeted you. You should tweet @JCD1219NY. I want to win, #OUDKRadio. All right, guys, I think it's time we get to it. We get to the unfortunate news about Paul Bearer, William Moody, Percy Pringle, whatever name you most associate with him. unfortunately passing away. News broke out that it was due to a blood clot, and he hadn't been feeling well for some time. It seems like he's always had a bit of health issues. He was pretty obese at one point and had a number of surgeries. And he was at some wrestling event, I think, this past weekend, and sources said that he was in a wheelchair and not really feeling well. But what I want to know from you guys, and JCD, you and I were talking a little bit about it on the Facebook page today, and that is, does he obviously belongs in the Hall of Fame, but the question is, does he go in this year? Does he go in alone? Does he go with The Undertaker? So, Rick Craig, I'm going to you first. What are your thoughts?
Well, first, anyone who is on my page, Pro Wrestling Obsession, knows that we have a managerial tournament going on, and Paul Bearer / Percy Pringle is still alive in the tournament. I would be surprised if he didn't make the final four of all-time managers. As far as him going into the Hall of Fame, as much as I'd love to see him go in by himself, I think the plan all along is for him to go in with The Undertaker, and it's not as far off as we think it's going to be.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Someone had mentioned there's no obviously valid source of this, but there was a rumor that Paul Bearer had an offer to join the Hall of Fame, but chose not to take it because he wanted to go in with The Undertaker. PLD, what do you think?
Honestly, I don't mind him going in by himself. I mean, he didn't just manage The Undertaker. I mean, he did impact Vader. He really helped the character of Mankind really get over, too. So it wasn't just The Undertaker, and if it wasn't for Paul Bearer, I don't think Kane's character would have ever evolved the way it did, or there was much hype there was. You know, they did some really good stuff with him. And it is a shame that happened, because a lot of us could say he's one of the first managers we probably saw on screen. I could tell you from when I started watching in 91, that's when Hogan lost the belt, and then, you know, Taker became the world champion at Survivor Series 91. So he definitely had an impact on me. And even my father today went up to me. He doesn't watch wrestling anymore. You know, he only watched it because I was a kid. He came up to me and was like, you know, I heard Paul Bearer passed away, you know. So it's a pretty big deal. You know, it was pretty big newsworthy because he did leave a huge impact for only being just one character and not really, you know, only managing like one or two guys. So he left a pretty big impact.
Well, he managed, he did a lot as Percy Pringle early on in his career. In terms of WWE, WWF, he obviously managed Undertaker and Kane. He was with Mankind. He was with Vader as well. I'm not sure who else other than those guys in WWE. So, you know, he's definitely most known for the Paul Bearer character. And I saw all over forms of social media pages and people changing their pictures to Paul Bearer or cover photos to Paul Bearer. So it's definitely he's had a huge impact on everyone. JCD, it is your turn.
Okay, first off, the Bearer thing about the offer is true. He has stated that, and he's the one that said the plan was for him to go in with Taker. As far as what they should do, this is a different Vince. This is a different Hunter. This is a more, I hate to use this word for Vince, a more sensitive Vince. I'm not saying it's going to happen this late. Don't be surprised Monday night if they announce it. Don't, you know, Kane could do the induction. His son is still alive, so his son could do the acceptance. As far as his mark, yeah, I don't think Taker goes as far. I mean, and this is no knock, obviously, on Taker's ability, but Taker wasn't really getting over with Brother Love as his manager, because that's who was his initial manager.
Mm-hmm.
Taker doesn't get over as much without Bearer, you know, than he did with him. Kane definitely doesn't go past WrestleMania 14 without Bearer. And I think it was, who was it, Will or Rick, that said, you know, he really helped develop Mankind's character.
Right.
You know, and Vader, and plus, you know what, the work he did when they were the corporate ministry, you know, it, he brought so much. And you know, one thing that I've heard, you know, not a lot brought out today, but if you really think about it, even as Paul Bearer, how much he evolved his character. He wasn't always the pale faced, jet blacked hair, jet mustached, you know, ooh, yes, guy. You know, he was able to evolve when the times were changing and not lose the effect of that character. You know, when he was talking about how he slept with Taker's mom, and, you know, how Kane was his, was his illegitimate son. I mean, that was a totally different dynamic for that character. And, you know, it just showed how well versed he was. And, you know, he really did a lot. I mean, he managed Rick Rude, you know, Austin early in his career, the Warrior. He even had, you know, Taker when Taker was Mark Calloway.
Right.
You know, in early parts in his career. So I'm not saying it's going to happen, but like I said, I really think it wouldn't surprise me Monday night if it's announced. And I wouldn't be surprised when Taker beats Punk at Mania, if somehow they find a way to work and earn into the middle of that ring as like a final tribute. You know, it's the closest thing you're going to get from Taker, because Taker's just so protective of his character.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if you see something symbolic worked into the end of that match.
That would be nice. Rick, I'm going to throw this next question to you.
Okay, can I make one other comment on the previous one before we jump?
Yes, go ahead.
You know, for old codgers like me who remember the days of Percy Pringle, I mean, talk about underrated. I mean, everybody knows him as Paul Bearer now, but, man, he was phenomenal as Percy Pringle. And if you've got the opportunity to go back and look at old matches, old tapes or what have you of his days when he was Percy Pringle, it's just as fun, just as hilarious, just as inspiring, I guess, to me watching Percy as it is to watch Paul Bearer. The thing with what JCD said, and I see exactly where you're coming from, buddy, I really do. The only thing I'm thinking with that is that he, unlike a Bobby Heenan or somebody like that who has just had so many different men that he's managed and never really got too attached to one particular character, Paul Bearer in WWFE lore is always going to be remembered for The Undertaker. I just don't see them bringing him in this year out of sympathy. I don't think they're going to do it just to play the card. I think they're going to do it for the right reasons and put him with Undertaker in together.
Well,
now,
that's just
the
my
thing
thought.
The thing is, though, Rick, and I see where you're coming from with that, but you know what? I'll take one Undertaker over a stable of guys.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not disagreeing
with that at all.
You know, and
his connection. He's always going to be remembered for The Undertaker. He goes in with The Undertaker. They're a team.
But here's the thing, guys. If we're focusing on the situation where Paul Bearer gets entered into the Hall of Fame. If Paul Bearer had not passed away, and we were debating on when The Undertaker should be entered into the Hall of Fame, would you be thinking about adding Paul Bearer in? Because I feel like people are questioning whether or not Paul Bearer should go in alone or not. So if you're just thinking about The Undertaker, is he someone that you would automatically put in by himself, or are you right away thinking there's no way he goes in without Paul Bearer?
Well, no, because the offer's been there for him for years to go in on his own. So obviously they've wanted to put him in on his own. You know, the body of work, you know, like Rick said, the Percy Pringle stuff, if he had any type of national exposure as Percy Pringle, he'd probably be right up there with Heenan.
Agreed.
You know, a lot of that Percy Pringle stuff gets lost because it was in Florida, it was in Georgia, it was in Texas. Yeah, WCCW. So he didn't get the exposure. So you know what? He's got, even though it's not as mainstream, he's got the body of work to go in either or. Now, you know, again, you know, everyone's saying, you know, well, Taker, you know, and him, Taker and him. You know, why not Kane and him? You know, he's not just a one-trick pony with Taker. And, you know, Taker is a little protective of his character. We don't know what Taker's mindset is going to be. How does an Undertaker induction go? You know, how does that acceptance speech go? You know, so, you know, everyone's saying, oh, him and Taker, him and Taker. You don't know how that's going to go, so he could go in alone. He could go in with him. It would be a conversation, even if he didn't pass away today, and you said to me, and this is me personally, and you said to me, hey, do you think Paul Bearer's a Hall of Famer? I would tell you yes, under any circumstance. So
yeah,
it's not just because he passed.
Yeah. JCD, real quick, have you gotten any tweets?
Oh, let's check.
No.
Heck, I'll take followers at this point.
Well, you can go to TLDRussell.com instead. That's a lot better.
You should also check out GutWrenchPowerBlog.com, GutWrenchPowerBlog.com.
No, I've got nothing.
Okay.
I did give away last week's prize at like 10:30, so you know what? I never said there was a time limit on this.
That's true. Anyone who's interested in the 1992 Survivor Series VHS, tweet at JCD1219NY for your...
All right, screw it. I'll just take the next tweet at this point.
The next tweet that he gets will win the prize. All right, so is there a consensus that that he will go in with the Undertaker? TLD,
no,
what do you say?
I think he's going to go in on his own. I honestly don't think he needs the Undertaker to go in there. You know, no one needs anybody to go into the Hall of Fame. You know, it's just out of respect for the person. You know, it's like he has to lynch onto someone else just because he was important to that. You know, important to that. I don't think he does. I think if anything, we should be more honoring him. You know, for some of the great stuff that he's done. You know, and not really be so much concerned about if he goes in with the Undertaker or not. Honestly, I don't think it makes a difference if he does or he doesn't. I think it would be cooler, if anything, that he goes in by himself and Taker is the one that actually inducts him. So I think that would be even cooler than just seeing them both going together. I think Taker is his own entity, and I think Paul Bearer was just as significant that he could be by himself.
Yeah, I would probably agree with you, but I would probably think that maybe Undertaker and Kane would do the induction together.
That's fine, too. It really doesn't matter. I just don't think that he should be attached to somebody because that makes it, in a way, the reason why I don't like Stables going in is like, it's just like the other people just weren't as important. That's
as
why
the main guy.
That person to go in. So that's why I'm feeling like, you know, we're putting too much on, you know, we need The Undertaker and him to go together. And I think, honestly, he should be by himself. He's a great manager. He managed some great, you know, notable names over the years. It's not like this guy is not, like, big enough to be on his own. I think he is, and he should be.
Absolutely. We have a little...
Here's the thing real quick, if I can just... Here's the thing, too, with Taker. And, you know, I've seen some things today about, oh, why no statement from Taker or anything like that. You got to remember something with Taker. Forget the fact that he's way beyond overprotective of the character. When Owen died, he was the only guy not on that stage. When Eddie died, he was not on that stage. When Benoit died, he was not on that stage. Taker does not deal with this stuff. So that's another thing. Like, I don't know if Taker
he doesn't
would
break kayfab.
Yeah, I don't know if Taker would break the character to do the induction. I think you got a better shot of Kane maybe doing it. You know, it's a shame that, like, Rude's
dead.
But I
think people would be pissed if Undertaker doesn't.
Yeah, but...
I think Taker, for this reason, I think he will. I think this is a reason
why. Will's right. If there's a reason for Taker to break the character, it would be for this. But I don't know if that's 100% guaranteed.
All right, well, we have about 3.5 minutes left in the live show. So anyone listening, make sure to find Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio on iTunes and check it out on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. I also always post the show on GutWrenchPowerBlog.com, so you can check it out there as well.
Also, this weekend we're going to have a lockdown post-show after TNA lockdown, so I was up to tune in for that. We'll be hosting that, so hopefully JCD will call in as he always does on every pay-per-view, so join us for that as well.
Okay, and also JCD and I will be making our wrestling commentary debut in Paterson, New Jersey on April 26th. And
maybe
I just got
permitting.
Word, you know, most likely, we will be getting some tickets to give away to fans on the show. So I'll be getting those tickets shortly, and that will be something we will also attempt to give away.
I'll take
them. Okay. That's Paterson, New Jersey on April 26th. Rick Craig, I have a question for you. Do you think
the
passing of Paul Bearer expedited the induction into the Hall of Fame?
Well, something we tend to forget is this is not the Hall of Fame. This is WWE promotional tool. I think the right thing to do would not be to do it right now, because then it would just be seen as just a cash play. I think that they were going to do it right. I mean, I'm of the feeling with the rest of you guys, his body of work speaks for itself. He could go in by himself easily. They're going to attach him with the Taker, whether we like it or not, just because they're going to milk it for all that they can milk it. But I don't see him going in now. If they were smart, they would hold off.
What do you think, JCD?
You think
it might happen on Monday?
I, like I said, I will not be surprised, shocked, or anything if this comes out Monday night. This is a different Vince. It's a different Hunter. You know, it's a more, you know, they're more, I hate to use that word, but there's a different sensitivity now than there was 5-6 years ago. You want to say Eddie was a cash grab in 06 after he died, after he passed away in 05? I'll agree with you 100%. You want to say Edge was a cash grab because his career ended so fast? Yeah, you're probably right, but, you know, this is a different... It's a different Vince, and now with Bruno involved in this, and Backlund even to a degree, you know, this Hall of Fame has a different meaning to it now. And I would not be surprised if he goes in this year. I won't. I would not, and I would not object to it. And you know, I would be more concerned about who's doing the induction than why is Vince doing it.
I think it's got to be either Undertaker, Kane, or both of them. But TLD, when do you think it's gonna happen?
I would say they might do it this year. I'm a 10 year, so I'll be selfish and say I would like to see that. I think this would be perfect. It's nice, it's fresh, and I think it's a good way to honor them.
Very interesting. Anyone else want to say anything about this?
Well, it doesn't matter when they put him in. He deserves to go in. So
yeah.
If he goes in this week, I'm 100% supportive of it. So,
absolutely. All right. We are now in the overtime period of our show. Anything you guys want to cover?
I want to do this for Rick. Hang on. I'm raising my hand.
Rick is back, so...
Rick?
Is it TNA?
Yes, sir.
Time?
I missed the fun with TNA last week.
Let's do some TNA.
All right, bro.
So.
We're not going to do a bro-off or anything, are we?
So, if I rip your mask off and the camera guy's not fast enough to get there, does it count?
And if you have a Twitter account that you're constantly tweeting... Why aren't you sharing that information? Rick?
Rick what?
Answer the question.
Yeah.
Well, Twitter account, now you lost me. What's this Twitter account thing? I've got a Twitter account, but I haven't used it in months.
No, but here's the thing. Kurt Angle unmasked the VP of Aces and Eights. The camera guy at Impact, who's everywhere he doesn't need to be, just happens to not be able to get around and show the guy's face.
Oh,
Angle,
okay.
Who is notorious on Twitter,
yes.
Doesn't tweet in this era of social media, and I'm being serious now, doesn't reveal who it is.
And it's like, really? Like, you're going to make it wait a week? You know, and obviously Angle hasn't been kidnapped, you know, because God knows TNA likes to do that. Why is this reveal in an era of social media, especially with the way TNA uses it? Dixie, if she takes a shit, tweets about it. You know, Angle, notorious. And then I was drunk or my Twitter got hacked.
Because this is the big surprise. They're not going to, you know, post it all over the place that easily, I don't think. I mean, I get what you're saying, but this is the revelation we've all been waiting for. They don't want to spoil this one, just like their house show results that go live, just so they don't have to get their shows spoiled anymore. But
I understand what you're saying, but
I think this is a bigger deal. They're not going to let this one go that easily.
Yeah, you're reading way, way too into it. You know, it's all about lockdown. You know, when that pay-per-view happens, there's going to be revealed right there. I mean, that's going to be part of the reveal, right?
They can't blow that.
They can't. They're going to throw it on Twitter. Oh, it was.
Okay, then
guy.
You know what you should have done? That's fine. You want to tie this into lockdown? You should have done it this week.
Oh, master of storylines. Go.
All right. Really? No, but I get what you're saying with lockdown. That lockdown's the big event this weekend. It's the big thing. Then do this thing that they did with Angle Thursday night. Do it this Thursday. There's too much time in between. You want to blow that off as your go-home show? Who did Angle see leading into lockdown? That makes 100% sense. I'm with that 100%. They did it a week too early.
But we don't know what's going to happen this Thursday.
If Angle doesn't announce who he saw this Thursday, then that's just
stupid. I mean, how do we know he's not going to get beat, the living crap beat out of him right before he's about ready to make the reveal or whatever? Just to get even more people to want to watch Lockdown. I mean, there's something's going to happen Thursday to keep him from blabbing his mouth.
Okay.
He's going to get attacked. He's going to get gang clobbered by the entire Aces of Eight stable or whatever to keep him from opening his big mouth. And then they're going to drag it out another week into the Lockdown.
Okay. More importantly, you think Bully Ray's turning?
I don't think he will.
I don't either.
Really?
Nope.
I don't think he will. I think that they've attacked the Aces and Eights too much to where it wouldn't make any sense. Just like with Garrett Bischoff, and you know, they've had 4-on-4 tag team matches with them against the Aces and Eights, and now all of a sudden they joined them after like you were trying to beat them up in the ring. I mean, like there are people who I've had a fight with before, you know, and I'm never going to be friends with the guy though. You know, it's just not. It doesn't make any sense. You know, to team up with someone who beat you up, or beating up one of your good friends, and it doesn't make any sense. So it's the kind of same thing where I think it's been going on too long. It ruined the weddings. You know,
yeah.
Taz has not been at ringside when Bully Ray comes out. You know, so there's. I don't think he's going to be the guy. I mean, maybe down the line he might turn into an ace member, but right now I think Bully Ray's going to become the new world champion.
And I'm going to call it and make my prediction
that,
right now.
I think so.
I'm going to make my prediction right now. It's Abyss. They've been holding off Abyss
mm-hmm.
for too long. And Joseph Park thing, you know, they've been playing up the Joseph Park thing. And now it's time for Abyss to be revealed as a member of Aces and Eight as the VP. That's who's underneath this one. It's a big guy. They've shown the VP, he's got a pretty, I mean, obviously they've switched people around at their convenience, but the VP is a big guy. I think it's Abyss. They've been holding this storyline too long.
So wait, would you do something where it's almost like a split personality thing?
Yes.
Like Joseph Parks with
yes.
DNA and Abyss is in Aces and Eights?
Exactly.
Yeah, that works.
That'd be different.
Yeah, that would work.
You see him snapping in the ring just like Abyss does. It's going to be like a split, you said it just correctly, split personality. And that's how they're going to play it off. And I know the IWC has been ripping the living daylights out of TNA for the Joseph Park character. I tell you what, watching Abyss and then turning around and watching his character as Joseph Park, I think he has just done such a phenomenal job in that character. From a brutal monster into this cowering lawyer type. I mean, who would have saw this out of Chris Parks? Seriously. I think it's been awesome. Now a split personality thing and watching him try to do both of them is going to be really interesting. But I think that's our reveal. That's who I'm going with.
That would be pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm hoping it's a big payoff because TNA's got, you know, I think they have the momentum on their side right now. You know, they're not doing as many pay-per-views. They had a great success over England. This is a big deal. I think Lockdown's going to be a pretty big thing for them. And I'm hoping that they really can succeed and get some good stuff going because I like it right now. I think TNA's doing some good stuff. Even Rob Perry's storyline has been really good, and that's like a super minor thing. And I'm a huge fan of Robbie E and the Bro List. So I definitely think this is going to be a good lockdown. I'm really looking forward to it.
This
I'm just waiting
for
JCD and me to have our bro off.
Well, I'm not picking JCD to win, I can tell you that.
What did you say?
Nothing, man. I think you're doing an awesome job, and I thank you for joining us at ProWrestlingPowerless.com.
You're an ass.
I'm not an ass, dude. That's not nice. I'm TLD. That's three other letters.
All right, another question
this
on TNA real quick. What did you guys think of and I really thought, obviously I missed last week, so I don't know what you guys said last week, but you were, JCD, you were talking about, because you knew what's happening and you weren't going to spoil it for the rest of us, you were going to talk about the TV taping. What was your thoughts about them pulling the Hulk Hogan card? Did you see it coming a mile away that he wasn't going to wrestle? Or was it just, or you think they were just using it as a ratings grab to get people to get their butts to watch Hulk Hogan wrestle in a match on television when I think the smart ones knew it was never going to happen?
Yeah, and it's smart on their part to pull that off. It's smart. You know, you get that segment announced at 10 after 8. Yeah, you know, it's smart. And what they did smart about it is they didn't do it in the impact zone where I think it would have been more of a dead giveaway. This ain't going to happen. If you didn't read those spoilers and knew what was going to happen, the fact that it was in London, those shows are always big shows. There was, you probably had a thinking of, you know what,
they might actually do this
tonight.
Right.
Yeah, so I thought it was good based on location.
Agreed. Godfather,
right.
What do you think?
Well, you know, I don't know how much you guys know, but I don't watch TNA as much as I watch WWE. But, you know, I do watch it from time to time. Did watch some of the UK episodes. But it sounds like, are you asking specifically about the Hulk Hogan situation?
I didn't know if you watched that show last week, and what were your thoughts? Were you thinking, oh, gosh, here they go, they're pulling the Hogan card? Or did you think, you know, this is brilliant genius, even attempting to use Hogan's name?
I did not watch it, but I don't ever think that anything involving Hulk Hogan is brilliant. So, you know, did I think that he was going to wrestle? I didn't really think about it. But do you think that it really pulled fans in terms of interest?
I guess that's the question to ask.
I think it did, because when I was watching it, I definitely think that it pulled interest in. It was right at the beginning of the show. And people could have thought that, because if you didn't read the results, like, I didn't read it. So, you know, I'm not sure, but I think some people would have thought he really did wrestle.
It was a sense of intrigue there, just a little hint of intrigue.
Right.
Whether you want to see Hogan wrestle or not, just the fact that he possibly could have been. It was kind of like coming out of nowhere, I guess.
I don't personally have interest in seeing and wanting to see Hulk Hogan wrestle again. You know,
I would have to agree with that.
It's just not to be as good as you want it to be.
I mean, seeing the last Hogan match with Sting a year and a half, 2 years ago was enough to make me definitely not want to see it again.
Yeah. It's like when you know, Michael Jordan came back and played for the Wizards and scored 6 points in a game. You know, you don't want something like that. You don't want like a one-time thing to ruin, you know, what you think of such a legend.
I think part of it is also how motivated Hogan is. I mean, these last couple of one-off matches over the last couple of years, you can tell a big difference from when he actually is motivated and gives a damn and is just going through the motions. And the Sting match at Bound for Glory was, I'm just going through the motions. But you look at the Shawn Michaels match in 05, and that's a totally different guy.
Which is surprising. As close as he is to Sting, you would have thought that he would have really wanted to step it up with Sting. It was really a stinker of a match.
Yep.
All right. Anything else? Oh, we just lost TLD. I don't know if you did that by accident or on purpose. Anything else before we sign off here? I'll take that as a no.
Yeah.
All right. Well, again, thank you for tuning in to Oh You Didn't Know Radio. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/OhYouDidn'tKnowRadio, facebook.com/ProWrestlingPowerhouse, and check out my page, facebook.com/GutWrenchPowerBlog. Check out Rick's group on Facebook. You definitely want to join it. It's Pro Wrestling Obsession.
I make my mighty return tomorrow.
Exactly. Vote for Paul Bearer. Maybe he'll win the managerial tournament here. Check out GutWrenchPowerBlog.com, and, of course, check out ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. You'll see a lot of JCD's stuff on there. He will tell you how things should have been or how things will be in the future there. Follow him.
Here's something interesting.
Yeah.
Real quick. WWE has a job posting for a VP of creative writing.
I saw that. They have job postings for everything.
Yeah.
But follow JCD at JCD1219NY. Follow me.
Please.
At SethGutt, SethGutt. And for JCD and Rick Craig, I am the Gut Father, Seth. And, of course, if you ain't down with that, Rick, I got two words for you.
Suck it.
Have a good night, guys.
Later.
Later.